started. When I hit a wall, you just walk through. When I face a mountain, you are the maker. Still faithful. When I'm at my worst, you are still good. In all of my questions, you are the answer. It all points to you. You're the God of the breakthrough. When I'm breaking down, you'll be working way through. When there's no way out, this one thing I know, that you're still on your throne. So whatever I'm feeling, I've still got a reason to praise.
book of Acts, chapter number 17. We're going to look at the first 10 verses. Now, when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and 3 Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures. 3 weeks he reasoned with them. Verse 3, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is Christ. Some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks a great number, great multitude, and of the chief women not a few. But the Jews which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company, and set all the city on an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. And when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, "These that have turned the world upside down are come hither also, whom Jason hath received, and these all do contrary to the decree of Caesar, saying that there is another king, one Jesus." And they troubled the people and the rulers of the city when they heard these things. And when they had taken security of Jason and of the other, they let them go. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. Father, as we come to you today, we think about what's already been shared with us in your house this morning. Impact. Wow. You want us to make an impact in lives. You want to impact our lives, God, and you've already done that today. You've already spoken to our hearts, God, as we have heard testimonies and prayer requests. We've heard praises go up to you, God, and testimonies. We've sung songs that glorify and lift up your holy name, God. And we know today, I know why you brought us to this passage of Scripture today in the book of Acts, because, God, today you want to impact our lives. Today you want to help us to become something different than we've ever been before. And you want us to go out, God, and be an impact in the world that's around us, to impact our families, impact our communities, God, and impact our counties, God. This church, you want it to be that lighthouse screaming to the top of the hills that Jesus is alive and well, and you save anybody that'll come to you. God, I'm thankful for the opportunity to just be a part of what you're doing here at the Cove. I thank you, God, for the humility and the humbleness that we see in the people here. I want to thank you, God, for the willingness of those to step up and work and to sacrifice and to give of themselves. I'm thankful, God, for these ministries that you develop within the church. And thank you, God, for so many good people that just, we're not perfect, God, but we're trying. We're seeking you, God. We're wanting to do things for you. We're wanting to minister and to reach out and make a difference in others' lives. God, forgive us of our sins. Forgive me. I don't want to mess up what you've done today, God, but preach to me today and preach to all of us from your word. Help us to see this life of Jason and this man, this one man that literally impacted this entire city. And we're still talking about it today, God. I want to be like him. I want to impact the world for you, for Jesus Christ. Thank you, and we pray these things in the holy name of Jesus. Amen. It's already been a powerful day, hasn't it? I mean, God is real. He's here, and he's wanting to let us know that there are things way more important than what we think are important in life. And when we look at these few verses of Scripture talking about this one man, Jason, and his house, there's a massive message that can be preached out of just what happened in the life of this one man. And I want to break it down in just simple layman's terms, because that's how I have to do in order for me to understand it and to comprehend what God's trying to say. But what we see in this man is nothing different than God expects to see in your life and in my life. Just because we read about him in the Bible doesn't mean he's more important than us, or he's able to accomplish more than we are. There's nothing different between you and I and Jason, other than the fact that he is somebody that literally gave his life to Jesus Christ. And he became an impact in that community. He impacted those churches. He made a difference in the people that were around him. And God wants those same things for us. So the difference between us and Jason are the choices that he made. First off, in verse number 7, it says, whom Jason hath received. He's talking about Paul and all these people that came when Paul was preaching the gospel to these folks. These guys are saying that Jason received Paul into his house. Jason received Paul and all these other evangelists and these ministers into his house. So whom Jason had received, and these all do contrary to the decree of Caesar, saying that there is another king, one Jesus. The importance here is about receiving. Jason received these men into his house. He received them into his home. It's not that God's just asking us to receive Jesus into our physical home, but he's saying we need to receive Christ into our spiritual home. There's a difference between hearing and knowing and receiving. You can know a whole lot about Jesus. We can grow up and know a lot of stories about the Bible, and we can quote scripture. We can have verses memorized. We can sit and discuss biblical things with people, and you can pull it off pretty good. We can be knowledgeable enough to retain knowledge about Christ and about the Word of God. We can even know what it takes to get saved and still never receive Jesus Christ. That's the difference. That's the kicker. Joshua chapter number 2 and verse number 4, when we go back to where Rahab was at and that whole event that happened and transpired there, verse number 4 said, the woman took the two men and hid them and said, thus there came men unto me, but I wist not whence they were. She risked her life and she received those men into her house. We know that's a pretty unique story anyway. She was a harlot. I know we've preached before about that situation, and it seems to me that because they wanted to go in unnoticed into the city, if you come into the city and you're strangers, depending on where you go is going to determine what you're here for. If those spies had come in and started looking around and pointing and bringing out measuring tapes and dissecting the city, then they're going to know something's up. What did the men do? They went into the house of Rahab. She was a harlot. They went into a common place where most strangers would go, perhaps to be unnoticed. God had bigger plans because God had already been working on the heart of Rahab, touched the heart of Rahab, and she not only received those men into her house, but she hid them so no one could find them and let them down outside of the wall. We all know what happened from there. But there's a difference between us knowing about God and understanding and comprehending who God is and who Christ is, and then actually receiving Christ into our heart and into our life. Paul was a man that knew more about the Word of God than anybody of his day. He called himself a Hebrew of Hebrews, which meant he had studied under the greatest teachers in his day, and he knew what the Scriptures meant. He knew the law. He knew the law inside and out. He knew the commandments. He knew those decrees and those statutes. He knew all of those things, and I'm gonna say he's one of those men that would make a great lecturer. He was somebody that you could sit and listen to for hours, just rattle off and rattle off about all these wonderful things about the law of God and the Word of God. He knew all about God. He knew all about what God had said, what God had promised, what God had done. He could recite all the miracles that God had performed for his people over those years and through the journey. He knew all of those things, and he believed all of those things actually happened. He knew it up in his head. But when he heard about this Jesus, when he heard about what Christ had come to do, when he heard that he'd identified himself as the Son of God, as God himself made flesh, he couldn't receive that truth and believe that truth. That's why he held the coats for those men that stoned and killed, murdered Stephen. But later, Paul found himself on a road to Damascus to gather up more Christians and to put them to death, to have them executed for their stand against the Jews and against their doctrines and their beliefs, and he met Jesus along the way. Jesus appeared to him, a great light, and Jesus spoke to him. He said, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Why are you fighting against me? Why are you struggling against me? It's me, Jesus, that your problem is with. That day, Saul got saved. And he was known as Paul later to identify himself with the Gentile nations or the Gentile people. We can have all this head knowledge about Jesus. We can go to church since we were a toddler. We can listen to these songs sung and have a lot of these songs memorized in our heart, scriptures memorized. We've heard all the stories. But in a crowd like this morning, which is a good crowd, I'm so thankful y'all are here. We've already been blessed, haven't we, to just be here. I would venture to say, though, there's some of us in here that we know it up here, but we've never received it in here. We go through the motions of religion, but we're not righteous by the blood of Christ. We know what it takes to look good among our friends and our family and our church family. We know what it takes on the outside for us to give the appearance of religion, and we satisfy those things, we think. But it's completely something else for us to truly believe and receive Jesus Christ in your heart as your Lord and Savior. Have you come to a moment in your life where you were convicted of your sins? Well, basically, it's one sin up to that point, isn't it? Until that point, it's one sin. It's rejection of Christ. Have you come under conviction of that sin of rejecting Christ at that moment and understood, I don't want to just know about Jesus up here, but I want him in my heart. I want him to save me, to seal me, to cleanse me, to clothe me. I want him to take away the sin. It's not just about a hope and a promise of going to heaven one day. That's just one of the benefits of being saved. It's about a transformed and a changed life. Jason impacted the world, but it started by him receiving, not only into his home, but into his heart, Jesus Christ. We can all say we want to make an impact in the world around us. We want to be acknowledged for something good, something productive, something worthwhile. I want to be known, don't you, as someone that has made somewhat of an impact on the world for Jesus Christ. It starts with us receiving Jesus into our heart. I hope you know today, where you're at with Jesus. If you're not saved, this is a great day to get saved. If you're not right, you're not ready, then this is a great day to get right and to get ready. But know that it's way more than a head knowledge, but it's a heart knowledge. It's a receiving of Jesus into your heart. Secondly, verse number 5, he filled his house. But the Jews which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of a baser sort, and they gathered a company, and they set all the city in an uproar and assaulted the house of Jason and sought to bring them out unto the people. They literally went to the home, the physical home of Jason, because they thought Paul and those guys were still there. They went into his house, beat on the door, busted the door down, went through and searched the entire home looking for Paul. Looking for these ministers that had been 3 weeks preaching the gospel of Jesus, and they couldn't find him, so they grabbed Jason and brought him out. Why did they go to the home of Jason to look for Paul? Because they knew that's if he was still in the city, that's where he's going to be hid, because that's the appearance Jason gave. He was a man that not only welcomed them into his home, but he filled his house with them. In Mark chapter number 2 and verses 1 and 2, again, talking about Jesus, again, he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noise. I love this. It was noise that he was in the house. He was in somebody's house. It broadcast noise that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. It's one thing for us to receive Christ. It's something in addition to that for us to fill our house with Christ. It doesn't just happen naturally. It requires a choice on your part and my part. It requires work on our part. If I want to impact the world, I must first receive Christ, then I secondly must fill my house with Jesus. Oh, I got you, preacher. We got all kinds of pictures of Jesus all over the house. I got bumper stickers all over my car. I love Jesus. Until I get mad at the guy that cut me off. Might need to take some of the stickers off of the car or drive somebody else's car. But we got to fill the house. It's not just making your house have the appearance of godliness. Nothing wrong with having a nice, tidy, clean house. And, you know, that's important. But just because I may wear a T-shirt that says Jesus on it or I love Jesus or a verse of scripture on it doesn't define who this is in here. Again, I'm not knocking Christian shirts. I got, like you, Camp Cove shirts and Bible school shirts galore, and I love it, and I wear them all the time. That's not what defines who I am, though. It's whether I'm letting Christ be filled within my heart and within my life that determines who I am. Hopefully, how we're seen and how we project ourselves is a result of what's going on in our life, that we've not only received Christ, but we've filled our house with Christ. Is your life so filled that when people see you, they know you don't got to tell them. They know you belong to Christ. Do you give that appearance when somebody sees you when you walk down the street? Are you that one that people will come to and say, I'm really struggling, I'm having a hard time, and I really appreciate if you would pray with me, pray for me about a situation? That ever happened to you? If it does, praise the Lord, because they see something in you that's different. Have you ever been made fun of because you're the Bible thumper? You're the one talking about Jesus all the time. You're the one that don't want to hear the dirty jokes. Are you excluded from certain things because of what stand you've taken in life? Good for you. That's a result of what's happened in your heart. It is enough for us to believe and trust in Jesus for salvation, but God has so much more to add to that established relationship that we will cheat ourselves out of if we don't fill our spiritual house with Jesus. When Gideon was called, God told him he wanted him to be that next leader, that next judge to defend the people. And so he set him up and he said, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go back to your dad's house. And he's got all these idols and images and all these things out in the backyard, you know, of idol gods and images and pagan gods. I want you to go out there and I want you to take all of those things. And he said, I want you to do two things. I want you to tear those down. Then I want you to build up an altar unto me and sacrifice those things on it. So to me, that's what he's saying about filling our house, our spiritual house. It's about tearing down those strongholds and those things that don't need to be in your life and building up an altar unto God and sacrificing those things. Kill them, destroy them, burn them, make powder out of them so that everything we do, we're trying our best to acknowledge God and listen to with our spiritual ears the Spirit as He speaks to us and follow that leadership. That's filling our house with God. It's not just paintings of the Lord's Supper hanging in a hallway, but it's about us spiritually eating that spiritual bread that God wants us to have and letting our lives be changed forever. Because whatever's going on in here, it's going to ooze out somewhere. And if it's full of Jesus, Jesus is going to come out and people are going to see it and people are going to be affected by it and it's going to make a difference in people's lives. Jason did that very thing. He not only received those men into his house, but he received Christ into his heart. And he didn't just receive him, but he filled his house. He said, listen, while you're here, this is your place to live while you're here as long as you want to. My house is your house. What was it Joshua said? As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Goodness, can we say that? Can that be said about your home? Can that be said about your house? As for me and my house. Listen, if you want to go serve the gods on the other side of the river of Jordan, if you want to serve some gods from the Canaanites on this side of the river, you go do whatever you want to do. You do whatever you is and you make yourself happy. But he said, for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Joshua wanted to make an impact in lives, and it started with those decisions that he had to make that were not easy decisions. It's not easy for us, is it? It requires something of us. The third thought is this in verse 9 and 10. When they had taken security, or like posting bail for Jason and of the others, they let him go. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. Mark, we were talking about it this morning right in here, weren't we? We'll whine and cry around about things that don't work right in our lives or don't go the way we want it to. And then all of a sudden, God will sideswipe us with somebody that has their priorities right. I don't like to get slapped in the face with that, but I do quite often. I get so caught up in me sometimes that you know what it does? It makes me sick. I get so caught up in myself, what I think I need, what I think I deserve, what should be happening in my life, what I should expect from me. God's just screaming, listen, if you'll just get your priorities straight, I'll take care of everything you're ever going to need. Matthew 6:33, one of my most favorite verses of the entire Bible. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. If I'll go there, goodness, what a place to be at the feet of Jesus. Do you have your priorities straight in your life? Goodness, we don't have any more time to serve God than we do right now. We may just have a day or two or three, or we may have 30, 40, 50 years, I don't know. But however much you have, you're not going to have any more tomorrow morning than you do right now. And do I have my priorities right in my life? God knows I have to work. God knows I have a family, have to provide for them. God understands that I have these obligations. Absolutely, God does. God knows all of those things. That's why Jesus said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore, which is translated as you go. Make disciples, baptize them in the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. He's not telling you to walk away from your obligations and what's demanded of you in life and your family. He's not telling us to all quit our jobs and load up on a plane and just go over somewhere and start a mission. Now, if it's Spirit-led, obviously. But he's not wanting us to give up, quit the things and responsibilities that we have in life. He wants us to let him utilize us and impact people as we go through life. When you go to the grocery store to buy groceries, when you go to buy gas, when you go on a vacation, when you're at work, when you're at the ball game, he wants us to impact lives. And we can do that if our priorities are right. If we're having fun watching a ball game, if we're having fun on vacation, those things are great as long as Jesus is here. We must have him where he needs to be in our life. Is he a top priority in your life? Is he number one in your life? Can you say to yourself today, can I say it today, that Jesus is number one in my life regardless of anybody and anything else around me? Jesus is first. If I can't say that, then I will not be an impact for the kingdom of God. And the last one is in verse number 6. When they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, and they cried, "These that have turned the world upside down are come hither also." John 6:9 says this from the miracle of the fish and the bread. "There is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish, but what are they among so many?" Somebody we don't even know, Jason, is part of a group that literally had been identified as turning the world upside down. Impact. Jason made an impact on the people around him. He made an impact in his home, an impact in his community, an impact by those leaders in the city. Goodness, we're still talking about him today. I want to make an impact, don't you? I want to make an impact for the kingdom of God. I want to make an impact in one life at a time. I want to make an impact the moments and opportunities I have to share God's word with you. I want to make a difference. I want Christ to be something real to you. And I want us to go out and impact this world. We're not talking about wanting to build a building over here just because we think we need a place to play. I can play in the yard out here. I can play at my house, you know. We can go out and do a lot of those things for fun. No. I can say this honestly from my heart. What I want that building to do is to become an impact for the kingdom of God. I want it to impact lives, just like I want my life to impact people. Do you desire to impact people with the kingdom of God? You can. And I've got a couple of folks down here that I just jotted down. One we've already talked about, Paul. Do we really get that Paul was a murderer of Christians? Have you ever killed any Christians? He did. He did it within the law. He did it as though he felt like things he were doing was right. I wonder how Paul felt when he got saved and the light bulb came on. Paul murdered Christians, but he got saved and he got forgiven. And he went on to impact the world. All these people we read about in the Bible, several women there were, some that were like adulterers and living with men and all these kind of things, been caught in the very act of it. Yeah, they were guilty of all these terrible crimes, these terrible sins, but when they found themselves at the feet of Jesus, they were forgiven of those sins. And Jesus said, "I don't condemn you either. Go and sin no more." Yeah, she was an adulterer, but she got saved and Jesus changed her life and she became an impact in those lives around her and she changed people. The woman that left the well went running back and she went to tell people, "This man knows me and knows everything I've ever done. Yet he loves me and he wants to forgive me." Regardless of what you've done, you might say today, "I don't think I can be impactful in the world today." Then you're limiting the power of God is what you're doing. Regardless of the sins you've committed, if we confess those faults to him, he'll forgive us and cleanse us of all of our unrighteousness, and he can use us to make a difference. If he can get a handful of fish and bread from a boy and feed 5,000 people, I know that he can do something within our church today. I know that he can impact the world through this congregation. Stand with me as we pray to begin our invitation. Father, as we come to you today, wow. What a challenge you've thrown in our face today. What you put in our hearts and our lives this morning. The conviction that you brought even from the very first song for us to know the power of God, to know the ability of you, God. You are limitless. There is absolutely nothing you cannot do. And God, you want to do those things through us. Help us today to choose to receive you. Help us today, God, to fill our houses with you. Help us to get our priorities straight, God, in our lives, and help us to become an impact in our communities, in other people's lives. Help us to make a difference for the kingdom of God. Bring to the altar who needs to be here today, God, and change us and give us that power to be an impact in lives around us. We pray this in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Amen.